All Things COVID.
Hello and welcome to All Things COVID, a GCCMC podcast. And this is where we explore today the importance of communication as a skill for healthcare professionals, how communication styles have evolved into a more collaborative approach now. And also, perhaps, if there are any, you know, new skills that are required of telehealth communication, seeing as that mode of engagement between patients and healthcare providers has seen an uptick in recent times. And I was thinking about it, the earliest recorded communication by someone in the healthcare space dates back to 1800 BC in Egypt. Of course, it wasn't really communication from a doctor to a patient. It was more like surgical notes on papyrus. But nevertheless, it's the earliest documented form of any kind of communication or written material by a doctor about a patient's health status. But yes, while we've come a long, long way from 1800 BC, we still are asking questions about the importance of this particular skill or art in healthcare professionals. And we're about to explore that topic with Dr. Chitra Selvan, who is an endocrinologist and associate professor with MS Ramaya Hospital in the city of Bengaluru. She's also very passionate about women's health and has a keen interest in communication when it comes to healthcare professionals. Thank you so much, Dr. Chitra, for joining us on All Things COVID. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Seetal. Thank you for having me here. And it's absolute my pleasure to be sharing some of my thoughts about communication during this horrible, horrible pandemic. And I'm hoping that I can share some of my learnings and observations over the years and we can get to mull about it a little bit more and go back richer from this whole experience together.
The place that I want to start, Dr. Chitra, is why are we having this conversation right now while the pandemic is raging? Has communication become even more important as a skill for doctors to acquire and have now because of this situation?
I would have to agree with that because I think the pandemic has probably exposed the low resources or maybe the skewed doctor-patient ratio that our country has always had. But somehow we were able to keep the boat afloat over the years when there was no sudden strain. And now there's suddenly so much a strain and there's so much more anxiety in the air. And there's also a kind of a desperation patients are looking at us not just for scientific and medical information, but also for a good amount of hand-holding. And I'm sure all doctors who have keyed in will agree that probably the most exhausting task of this whole pandemic, apart from surviving the virus itself, has been the hand-holding, which at the end of the day, while I would appreciate a healthcare worker to do that for me, I also understand that it is a difficult task and demanding task to ask of healthcare workers. But I think doctors now are beginning to understand that the practice of medicine is just as much an art as much as it is science. And almost 70% of how a patient feels at the end of a consult is to do with the way you've heard them out, whether you have listened to them or not, and whether you have addressed their specific questions and not as much about the medications which you offered as a solution. And I think we are waking up to this as we are listening to more and more patient narratives about their experience after speaking to doctors at the end of a consult or at the end of a hospital stay. And we are waking up to realize that hospitals are scary, doctors' encounters or consultations are difficult, and we're beginning to be aware of it a little bit more to improve the experience of patients seeking health care.
So I think that's a good context for us to have set for all of our listeners over here. Also, what's the impact of different communication styles on the doctor-patient relationship, Dr. Chitra?
So if you go back and recall what your, let's say, medicine professors or teachers taught us in medical school, right? So the tone was so different, right? So when, let us say, 30, 40 years ago, your parents or your grandparents went to see a doctor, they went with almost a sense of reverence, with the same fervor maybe as they would go to a temple to find a solution to a problem. And whatever the doctor said, we accepted it and no one questioned him. So that kind of a relationship is more a very paternalistic relationship, right? So you presume that the doctor is at the place of greater knowledge, good, all of it, and you receive it almost without questioning it. And there was an era where that was the model which was very well practiced and also accepted, right? But now we do understand that there are probably some loopholes with that system itself, where it probably works in certain situations, not likely to work in especially medical conditions in which you are not likely to completely understand the patient's side of the story. And we also are beginning to understand that living with a condition is so much more different with being the expert on that condition, right? So I might have read every scientific literature that there is to read about type 2 diabetes, but I have no lived experience about how difficult it could be to manage my life along with managing type 2 diabetes, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of communication or relationship between doctors and patients, where you ask your patient, so if I put you on a medication which can push you into low sugars somewhere in the middle of the day of your workday, will it be something that you can work around, or is it going to be something that is absolutely not something that you can work around? So if let's say my patient is a driver who's driving long distances, of course it's going to be ridiculous for him to think that he can stop anywhere and have a snack, right? So this is more a collaborative approach. So I am still treating the patient to the best of my abilities, but I'm being acutely aware of the fact that as much as I prescribe the medication, it's going to be the person sitting across me who's going to take it, experience the side effects, and also live with it on an everyday basis. So I give you a prescription and I forget about you for the next 3 months, but the patient goes back to experience those effects or side effects and all of it for the next 3 months. So this is more a collaborative approach, and this is probably the way the whole doctor-patient relationship is going to evolve. And I'm hoping that the results of this will be mutually beneficial, that doctors end up coming out of these consultations feeling that they provided the best solutions, and that patients go back thinking that or feeling that they've been taken care of and heard and their specific concerns addressed.
Yeah, so it's an evolving relationship, and collaborative really is the tone we are seeing that has been set over the last few decades, I would imagine, and is likely to stay that way. In fact, I was reading recently that about 3 weeks ago, the Washington Post carried this thing on how federal rules in the US require now clinicians' notes to be available to patients. And of course, that's raised a lot of questions about the ability of a patient to understand perhaps what's complex, you know, terms that are being used to describe a diagnosis or a situation or a condition. That's another pickle altogether, and hopefully we'll be somewhere along the conversation touch upon that aspect of it. How much is too much, right, for someone who possibly isn't from the field? But right now I want to ask you about telehealth. Right now especially, we're seeing a lot of, like, I had my last consultation with a doctor, my first ever remote one a few months ago. It was a strange experience, I have to say, and telehealth is here to stay. We've had telehealth in our lives for a long time, and technology has been doing its thing to bring help to people where they can't go to it themselves. But in this context, Dr. Chitra, how important are communication skills? Is there a need for you to have a more refined approach to how you communicate because you are remote, because you're using tools like, you know, Zoom or one of those platforms?
Yeah. So I think when we had telehealth and teleconsultations all along, all these years before the pandemic, you had probably a doctor as an interface connecting with another doctor with greater expertise through telecommunication and maybe passing on that information to you. But now what has absolutely changed is you can connect straight to a doctor through telehealth, and that's probably what's changed in India. So we had a change in legislation for that. It was not okay to be doing that before, and now it's absolutely okay. Right. So yes, I guess all of us have learned how to communicate through Zoom and all of these platforms and have meaningful communications and get great results out of it. But I think you and I have also understood that it completely removes the opportunity of, let us say, opening the door for you and welcoming you in. That is something that doctors like to do for their patients as they call them in. So that's something that's going to be missing. And of course, sometimes when you're doing a video consultation from your hospital, you're likely to cover most of your face with the mask, and that becomes even more difficult for your patient to, you know, read your emotions, right? Apart from them trying to read your emotions. So definitely, I feel it is important to acknowledge all of this while we schedule video consults and teleconsults. So some of the tricks that work or should be something that we think about as we have more and more scheduled teleconsults is allow time for technical glitches, right? So especially if you're new to the platform, don't have your consultation for 10 minutes per patient, because you know what? If your first patient takes 7 minutes to connect, and if the consult goes a little late, literally every other consult is going to be late. So schedule an adequate time, and maybe have an automated message which goes out to your patient to say, you know, state your specific problem. Very often this happens where you end a consult, which you think is the end of a consult, and then the patient says, can I just bring up this one other thing? Can you take a look at this little thing on my finger and help me through it? So specifically ask the patient, what is the immediate concern that you would like to get addressed first? And then we'll go on to talk about the diet or the exercise. That might be something that I want to spend time talking, but probably the patient has something else which is burning, which he needs to get off his chest, right? And I think the more animated you are on teleconsultations, the better the communication, right? Mm-hmm. So I wave to my patients at the end of a consult. My daughter laughs at me from across the hall as she sees me. But I feel like that is me sending out good vibes through the consult. And I see literally all patients waving back to me. So, you know, so just so the use of nonverbal cues is also something that takes importance in consultations which are remotely done. Mm-hmm. And get as much information as you can before you connect to the patient. So ask them to send their recent reports, their current reports, every other bit of medical information that they have about you. Set aside 2 or 3 minutes to go through that, so you kind of get an understanding of what's going on. So when you connect, you can get specifically to the problem itself. So also, don't be scared of waving, doing namaskara, you know, all of that, just to let them know what you're feeling, because it's difficult to read expressions through mask. And I'm also paying more attention to reading their body language and tone, because in the comforts of your consultation room, maybe it was easy for your patient to confide that, you know what, I'm having a tough time with the circumstances at home. So the parting words, as you're saying bye, is a very precious time with your patient, right? They're likely to confide the most heaviest thing that's on their mind at that time. So those are some of the privileges that we've lost with teleconsultations. But I'm paying attention to the tone of voice that they're using, whether they are hunched, whether their body language is looking sad. So those are also certain cues that if you pay attention, you will be able to pick up, especially if it's a patient who we've been seeing for a long time. Yeah. Right. So
that's an interesting point, actually. And the other one that as a layperson, I have to say that also platforms or Zoom like interactions, video conferencing platforms have a definite time like hard stop. That's a word we associate with, these video conferencing calls. Whereas when you go into a doctor's place for an appointment, there is no concept of a hard stop. The hard stop is when the doctor says it's a hard stop. But otherwise, here, before you've actually walked into the room, you know your appointment is for 15 minutes and you better not be sitting around there any longer. So these kind of things, I would also imagine, could be allayed, these sort of tensions or nervousness about time. I would imagine with these friendly gestures, body language and communication. Excellent. So we've got some clarity on the topic that is in focus today on all things COVID with Dr. Chitra Selvan. There are more questions coming up. In a short while, in fact, we're going to figure out what the general mantras are with respect to better communication in the COVID era. We spoke about the, tele aspect of things. General coming up in just a bit. Stay with us on the show.
All things COVID continues.
Dr. Chitra, what are the general strategies for better communication in the COVID era? I know, very broad-based kind of question, but are there some do's and don'ts or checklists you can hand our listeners?
You were talking about how Zoom calls having a limited time of 15 minutes could be adding to anxiety.
Right.
Yes, it adds to a lot of anxiety. So, and it does kind of take away from the communicating the, you know, the important bit. So you can really improve the slot duration. My slots are at 20 minutes, right? So you might not use up all the 20 minutes for all your patients, but at least it gives me a breather in between patients.
Right.
So either I log in and wait for my patient to figure out, and I'm really okay. I have actually scheduled 2 to 4 minutes for the patient to log in, right? So take all the time you want. All of my patients are elderly. I'm going to use that time to scroll through my Twitter feed, or I'm going to, you know, come up with a smart tweet, but I'm not going to stress about that, right? So right. That also kind of eases up the stress for them, right? Mm-hmm. And I almost always keep a chat option open.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they book their consultation, so an automated message goes out saying, write down what is bothering you, write down the questions in the order that you would like it to be addressed, starting from most important to least important, write down the medications you're on, write down every concern that you have. So that seems to ease up the communication immediately.
Hmm.
And the third point, which I tell them, is bring all your medical records and spread it all around you and sit down, right? So, I am very likely to ask you what the cardiologist has prescribed to you. I'm very likely to ask what the pulmonologist has put you on, because I will have to factor in drug interactions, the last time you checked your heart, because all of us are taking care of the same person and we want to make sure that there's no duplication. So sit down with all information at hand, write down as much as you can, send as many reports as you can as an attachment. Almost all platforms have that now, right? So you can send even 20 files of all the medical records. If you're not able to understand which exact medical record is relevant and which is not, send everything, right? So doctors can sift through records quite fast. So they will figure it out by themselves. So those are some of the cues to make telemedicine and video consultation less stressful for both patient and for doctor. Mm-hmm. I feel stressed out doctors lead to stressed out encounters, which in turn, you know, leaves patients stressed out. So I think it's important. Everybody needs to be, you know, not stressed about it. So schedule your appointments reasonably. Accommodate the fact that we live in India, power failures happen, rains happen, technical glitches happen all the time.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Give them an extra 2 to 3 minutes to figure it out. And everybody is new to this, right? We're all trying to figure it out. I might have done 100 consults, but for the patient, this is the first video consult.
Right.
So accommodate for all of that. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that one is video, but in that particular realm of how you consult, anything else that you want to share, Dr. Chitra, generally speaking, communication in the COVID area, what do people need to be sensitive about? I know the doctors, healthcare professionals are an immense amount of pressure. This is hardly the time one wants to expect even people skills from an already overtaxed system. But nevertheless, yeah. Anything that you would like to...
Yeah, so I have a very different view about this whole thing. So I really feel that clinical consultation or meeting patients can be therapeutic for doctors as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not all clinical consultations need to be stressful for doctors. If you go in stressed, I think you will end up more stressed. But if you are looking to leave the clinical consult with the patient, with both you and the patient feeling better, that is still an option that is viable. So you and the patient are experiencing literally the same kind of stressor, right? So when you ask your patient, how are you holding up? Are you okay? That is an opportunity for the patient to share their experience. It's also an opportunity for you to let your patient know that you're also a human being.
Right.
And today is a day that you chose to hole up at home and see patients on the video because I was too psyched to go to the hospital today. Right.
So
it can be therapeutic both ways. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's something which I think which is so new to doctors because nobody's even told us to look at it like that, mm-hmm. that listening can be therapeutic, not just for the person who's speaking. It's also therapeutic for the person who's listening. So it reverberates both ways. You can feed off each other and both of y'all can come out feeling better. about the whole encounter. So that is my take, but I know many of my colleagues don't agree with me. So,
but yeah, there's always room for disagreement.
Yeah,
please do voice yours. I'm calling all our listeners out. In case you disagree, please do let us know, and maybe we can have an alternate view featured on a separate podcast. And I'm sure Dr. Chitra will be happy to join us on that one as well. But here's the other question, right? I mean, so much to learn clearly, and one of the efforts through these podcasts is to bring healthcare professionals and doctors up to speed on what's happening in the general, you know, area with respect to COVID. But how can we learn to communicate better? I mean, I was reading this other article about an entire 3-year-old company that's devoted to supplying doctors, hospitals and healthcare professionals a virtual assistant, basically an animation robot that teaches you things like empathy and, you know, interpersonal skills and all of that.
Talk about the irony of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, here's this, the animation is so cute, but it's so not human. just to remind you where you're failing. So, so there's that whole product out there, you know, in the market. I don't know if there's just one or there are many of these, but that's one area, using technology to teach human things to human beings. But yeah, what else can we do if you're not about to avail of those services?
Anything? Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to remember that we are all learning all the time as we go about it. Nobody taught us about communication in medical school at all whatsoever. And we learned whatever we learned from watching our mentors and teachers and professors. And as you evolve and grow up as a treating physician yourself, you realize that probably certain aspects of it went quite right. And some of them you pick up because of your experience as a patient and a caregiver. But most of it you pick up when you are just paying attention to your patients and how they are feeling at the end of a consult. So I think being open to feedback from your patients, first of all, from peers, from your nurses and diabetes educators, I feel they are fantastic resources to give you feedback about communication, because they are noticing you day in and day out. They are also noticing the effect of your interaction with your patient. My diabetes educator is so good that she is able to pick up the days when I'm feeling off because she sees patients walking out of my room not so happy. So keep your feedback loops open from all round, and be open to getting feedback and finding ways to improve. So I think those are the ways that we learn. But now it is becoming more systematic, in that even medical education has woken up to the fact that communication is an extremely important part of the whole training that doctors have to undergo, that it's not just medical rigor and scientific temper. It's also paying attention to the art and connecting to the human sitting across to you. So we now have modules for young doctors joining medical courses, taking them to role plays, getting them to critically evaluate doctor-patient relationships and encounters, and how exactly put themselves in the shoes of the patient, think about what the patient is feeling, critically review some of the words that we use in scientific literature. For example, we use words like morbidly obese, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the scientifically accepted way to grade obesity, right? An English professor pointed it out to me and said, how dare you think that it's absolutely okay to write the word morbid in my medical records? Mm-hmm. And at that point, I turned to her and I said, but morbid is a scientifically accepted word. I'm not using it in the literal sense. She said, even if you're not using it in the literal sense, that is the sense in which I'm going to read that word. Right? Shouldn't you be thinking about that? So we are now becoming more and more aware of some of the things which we thought was absolutely a privilege that only doctors are entitled to. So right. As we open up medical records access to patients, I think these are again some things that we'll probably need to pay more attention to and improve upon.
Absolutely. Yes.
At the end of the day, Sital, I'll tell you this, no doctor became a doctor to make patients feel bad.
Absolutely.
Every doctor became a doctor to make patients feel better. But there is so much going on in terms of the rigors of medical education. It almost seems like this is not an important thing. But if we make it a part of the training and we make it a part of everyday practice, we will end up having doctors who are sensitive, able, you know, smart, knowledgeable, and again, great communicators, bringing out peaceful patient encounters and clinical encounters. Because all doctors, as I know, even the ones who are, let's say, harsh to their patients, we have some doctors who take pride in, no, I don't want to talk. I don't want to know how your dog is doing or your plant is doing. I just want to make sure your medications are all right and your numbers are looking good. And I don't want to talk too much about it. I don't want to expend my energy. I know that even they come from a good place. So nobody wants to be mean to anybody at any point. But I think it's only about changing perspective about the relevance of communication. And I think it is time that everybody pays attention to this and adapts to this change.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm going to wrap up All Things COVID. That's what this podcast is called, with Dr. Chitra Selvan, because she should have the last word, although it is my job to also remind you. Therefore, I am having the last few words that there is a website, gccmc.in, where you can go in case you're in need of more resources on COVID. But thank you so much, Dr. Chitra, for joining us on this conversation, very important conversation on communication at a time like this.
Thank you so much, Sital. Absolutely loved being here. We'll go back and check out all the other podcasts on this series now.
For more discussions and resources, visit gccmc.in.